This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Welcome to Joe Plumb's Political Soapbox on Vectis Radio.
Yes, we can.
Because Brexit means Brexit.
This, Mr. President, is a remarkable record.
The Isle of Wight Zoo is having difficulty importing a tiger.
My father gave me a small loan of $1 million.
Which we wouldn't have if we listened to the muttering idiot sitting opposite me.
On the show today, we have Tony Murphy. Good afternoon, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you on. Would you like to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about... you're coming on to talk about the food bank today, but your role and what you do.
Right, well, my name's Tony, and I'm based on the minister at Church on the Roundabout, but as part of that, we've been running a food bank there for 5 years. So ever since food bank's been on the Isle of Wight, we were the second one to open. So that's my role, especially on a Wednesday and a Friday morning. That's when we're open.
Brilliant. So we're going to be talking all things food bank today and how people can support, and also looking at the kind of politics behind it, why we need it and how they're funded, and all sorts of things. If you'd like to listen to any of the other shows that we have done on the Political Soapbox, if you go on to vectisradio.com, it's now a very Christmassy page at the moment with lots of snowflakes in the background. But if you click on air and then presenters, and then there's a picture of my face. If you click on that, it will take you up, and we've got the podcast up of the last few shows, so you can listen to Vix Lothian come in and talk about the Green Party, Ian McKee from UKIP. Last week's really interesting talk with Fiona Gwinnett about domestic abuse and the work at White Dash, which is the domestic abuse support hub, and an interview there with Lauren Fry, the designer who's got an art exhibition which finishes today. That's at the Key Arts Gallery in the Claydon room upstairs, all about domestic violence. So a really powerful exhibition. If you can get to see that, then definitely recommend it. So Tony, do you want to just start? Let's talk about how the food bank came about on the Isle of Wight, and as you said, it's been for the last 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's quite an interesting story, actually, because there's a chap, he used to be a councillor on the Isle of Wight, Charlie Hancock, probably known to a lot of listeners. He was somewhere on holiday, and he saw a food bank in operation. It's quite a new idea nationally. And he came back to the Isle of Wight, and he says, we have to have a food bank on the Isle of Wight. And he's a real mover and a shaker. So within a week, he'd secured a free warehouse space, and he'd got people around him to... And people started donating food, and then he started going on at people to open up distribution centres. So within a few weeks, he had it all moving very, very quickly.
So, obviously, and a lot of people had heard of food bank, but what is this actually? What kind of does it look like when you're there, and how do people get and access this service?
Well, food bank is an amazing thing, and this is why I really, really... enjoy volunteering for food bank, because it is local people helping local people. So, you know, I see it as the Isle of Wight helping the Isle of Wight. We're not waiting for a handout, we're not waiting for a subsidy, we're actually just helping each other. And what it is that people, just local people, donate food, and they donate it to schools, at schools, at churches, and at supermarkets. So there's places to donate all over the place on the Isle of Wight. And then we pick it up, take it to cows, and that food is given out through 7 distribution centres across the island.
Fantastic. So what kind of things can people donate? Can it be anything, or is there certain restrictions on what you can put inside those boxes?
Well, the best things that we like is things with quite a long shelf life, so cans and packets. Because by the time it's been donated and it's been picked up, it's been taken to cows and weighed and put in the warehouse there, and then taken to the distribution centres, any fresh food would have gone out of date. So we can't deal with fresh food at all. But anything with a decent shelf life on it, from 6 weeks onwards, really, we're very happy to have donated.
So I know somebody used to donate homemade cakes, which was a problem because you can't take those through. But it's a fantastic idea, but like to buy packaged products with a long-term sell-by date on them.
Yeah, that's what we really, really want.
Excellent. So who are the kind of people who use this service?
Well, that's an interesting question as well, because I went into Cowes Enterprise College yesterday and to do an assembly there. And met a couple of children on the way in, and they said, oh, what are you coming to talk about? I said, I'm coming to talk about food bank. And they said, oh, yeah, that's for the homeless. And I think that's a massive misconception about food bank, that it's for the homeless or for people without a job. Yes, it is, but it's also for anybody who finds himself in a crisis. And that literally can be anybody, because nowadays, with the financial squeeze the way it is, you can have people in a full-time job, in a decent job, and maybe they lose that job. It's very hard for them to immediately get another one. Their mortgage payments could be high. So, yeah, a person could own a house and a car, but not have any spare money if something goes wrong for them. So it literally is anybody.
I know Theresa May and Philip Hammond have talked a lot recently about this, the jam, which is those who are just about managing, who one slight change and it turns from just about managing into these crisis situations. So I imagine a number of those people, the kind of people you see through your doors coming into the centres.
Absolutely, yeah. I think people manage, like I say, hand to mouth, just day by day, until something goes wrong. It can be, you know, that we've had examples of a car failing an MOT, and they'll use that car for their business, so they can't get the business because they can't afford to get the car mended and things like that. So food bank at times like that helps in the short term, helps to get over the short term crisis by providing some food so that they can put their money into the things that it's required for.
So if somebody is in a crisis, they're in a situation where they can't cope, can't afford to feed their families or themselves, can they just walk into one of your centres, or how does that work?
That's another commonly asked question, so you're asking all the right questions here. But no, they can't just walk in and get food. They would need to have a food bank voucher. That food bank voucher could be written out by over 100 professionals on the Isle of Wight, healthcare professionals, schools do them, children's centres, medical centres, Citizens Advice Bureau, Law Centre. There's a lot of places, and obviously the job centre do them, there's a lot of places all over the Isle of Wight that will write out a food bank voucher. So if somebody comes to us and said, I really need a food bank voucher, I've got the list of all the people who do write them out, and I'll just sit down with them and we find somebody who would know their situation and be able to write them one out.
What about somebody who may say they're in a really terrible situation, they can't afford, you know, to feed themselves or their families, but they feel too embarrassed to do that? What kind of advice have you got to somebody who might be a little stigma in asking for a voucher or going up to somebody, and because that's quite a big step to actually have to ask somebody and to admit that you're in a crisis and to admit that you can't cope?
Yes, it is a big thing to do. It's a big thing to actually come to one of the distribution centres and ask for food, but when someone comes in for the first time, and you can see that all over their face, it's a difficult thing for them to do. The thing that I say to them, which makes it almost makes them sort of breathe a sigh of relief, is that it's not a handout. It's certainly not a church handout. I explain to them that there's collection boxes all over the Isle of Wight. There's places where people donate food, and a lot of them, these people who come in, have actually donated food themselves at some point. So I say it really is the community helping the community. So as the Isle of Wight, we're all putting in, and when or if we need to take out, then we do. So I really explain to people that it's that we're all looking after each other here.
Fantastic. There was a report by the organisation called RAP that says that 18% of the 270,000 tonnes of edible waste was redistributed for food banks last year, which is, that's a good thing, 18%, but obviously we should be pushing for higher and higher. Last year, more than 400 million meals were just thrown away. Do you think we are in a culture at the moment of just buying something and then not using it and throw away, that kind of throwaway culture that we have at the moment?
Yes, unfortunately that's still very prevalent in our society, I think. So anything that can be done to help is a good thing. And I know a lot of supermarkets are trying to sort of donate some of their food, which is close to sell-by date, to charities.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Doesn't help food bank quite so much, because obviously we have to have things with a long shelf life, which the supermarkets aren't quite so keen to donate. So that side of things, I think we benefit a small amount, but not overly so. We work with supermarkets, really, like at Tesco today, where we were in there doing a big collection, which we've been doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In fact, they're still there now if anyone wants to go to Tesco's this afternoon collecting. So we're actually relying, the supermarkets do help, but we're relying mainly on the goodwill of islanders to help other islanders. And I think it does capture the imagination as well, because if you decide to donate something, I'd like a box of Shreddies, it's my favourite, but if you decide to donate a box of Shreddies, then you know that that whole box of Shreddies is going to go to a family on the Isle of Wight that really needs it. Whilst a lot of, you know, if you're donating to a lot of charities, you think, what's going to happen to my pound, you know?
That's great. And these items are things that people desperately need, don't they? They're the essential food things that you're thinking of. So it's good to kind of have a look in your extra shopping and just kind of grab an extra item every now and then.
Absolutely.
There's obviously the numbers of people who are using these services is, because they're all run by different trusts. So the Isle of Wight is a Trussell Trust, is that
it
correct?
It is, yes.
And there are a number of different things. So collating all of this information, there was a good article called How Many People Are Hungry? The Government Should Know. And at the moment they don't. They've got no way of collecting. I know Trussell do advertise a lot of, promote a lot of their numbers that they have of how many people are coming in. But recently when those numbers came out, the number of people who use the service from benefit because of benefit sanctions, the Oxford University did a study into this, saying that ministers have refused to accept that welfare reforms are connected to the explosion of food banks on the island. Because this, in the UK, this seems like quite a new, the food bank on the island's only 5 years, but this whole surge has been very recent. And it seems that in 2016, that why do we need these food banks now more than ever, really?
My personal view on this is that any society at any time is going to have people who are in crisis. And I think if food bank had been thought up 20, 30, 40 years ago, or at any point in history really, it would have been, it would have worked. I think it always would have worked and probably always will work. It's a good way of the community helping the community.
But with this, the fact that it is the community helping the community, why is government not doing anything to fund and support these food banks? If some people are saying that, and according to Trust the Trust, the main reason why people visited food banks last year was, the number one reason was because they were on benefit sanctions and could not receive the benefits that they needed because they were late for an appointment or something. So it's a government-caused problem that then has to then be solved by, or the way that the government is dealing with the welfare system, then having to be solved by the generosity of the public, so the community. So clearly people want to help and support these people who are in these situations because they're donating food and they're donating money and support. And it's an interesting battle. I'm interested in why politics aren't, and politicians aren't getting involved in the food banks and aren't supporting the funding. What do you think? Do you think they should be getting involved?
I think in an ideal situation they would. I actually feel very sorry for any government. Now I've got a bit older. I've seen a lot of governments come and go, Labour and Conservative and Labour and Conservative. And what the people always ask for is they ask for the maximum amount of services provided by the government for the minimum amount of taxes. And I think any government, whatever their persuasion, is going to struggle to do that. So a government gets in by making promises that often they are actually unable to deliver, I think. And obviously there's a squeeze on finances. And more so now, you know, in this austerity times that are here, I think it is very difficult. So I think it's difficult for a government. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. I think there's probably more they can do in some areas as well. But it is difficult. And I'm a great believer in community. I'm a great believer in communities pulling together, I think, regardless of the government in a lot of ways. I don't personally think we can expect the government to do everything, but I also do think they have some responsibilities. So
yeah, I would say, like, basic, you know, to be able to feed your family,
yeah,
would be something that you would expect the government to ensure that people can get to this stage.
Yes.
And there seems to be, especially with the benefit system and the welfare state and how the Conservatives has been doing this, it's very much a, you turn up late to an appointment, that's it. And I know the Trussell Trust have campaigned and lobbied against this and have suggested that those sanctions be lifted and you turn into more of a warning system, so that the first time that you're late for an appointment or you miss something, then it's given a warning rather than...
Yes, we were there when the sanctions first were introduced, the idea of sanctions, and the people who were being sanctioned, as far as I could see, were some of the more vulnerable people. It would appear that people who were getting away with stuff continue to get away with stuff, but the people who were vulnerable, even people with learning difficulties, the people who couldn't read or write particularly well, if they were making mistakes on forms, it would appear that they were being sanctioned. So initially, I think that was a very bad situation. I would say that situation seems to not be so bad now. When it first came out, it seemed like a lot of poor people who were being sanctioned who just didn't even know why in some cases.
Okay, we're going to go to an ad break now, and then when we come back, I've got a clip from the trailer of I, Daniel Blake, the Ken Loach film that came out earlier, well, in the last couple of months. Won a lot of prizes at various film festivals across the globe, which really does hammer that kind of hammer home the message of those of the benefit system and what happens. And there is a really powerful scene in there about the food bank. So we'll play that clip just after the ad break and have a discussion about that and about more of the work that the food bank do. Okay, see you after the break.
Social and get in touch. It's / Vectis Radio on Facebook. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Hello, you're listening to Joe Plum's Political Soapbox here on Saturday in the afternoon. In the build-up to Christmas, it's very Christmassy in the studio at the moment, with lots of lights and decorations and flashy things, which is very exciting. And a really good time of the year to be donating to the food bank, because I expect you'll see a lot of people coming through your doors in the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
I'm here with Tony Murphy, who's from one of the distribution centres that the Isle of Wight Food Bank run, the church on the roundabout. So what can people do to help donate around Christmas time?
Right, well, I've just been at Tesco's this morning, and we've been collecting there. So we've been giving out lists of things that people could buy with their shopping and then donate at Tesco's. Tesco's and all the main supermarkets all have boxes there that you can donate in. And I've got a list with me that I was giving out this morning, so if you've got a pen and a paper.
Yeah.
it's things that, well, anything really with a decent shelf life, as I was saying. So we've got tinned meat, tinned fish like tuna and things like that, tinned vegetables, tinned fruit, pasta sauces, coffee, long life milk, fruit juice, again with a long life, tinned puddings, jam and other preserves, instant mashed potato or tinned potatoes, and anything nice and Christmassy, really.
Brilliant, that's great.
We've given out some advent calendars.
Oh, fantastic.
To people who really cheered them up.
Yeah. And it's not just food that you offer at the food bank, is it? There's what other services do you provide?
Well, we do signpost people as well. So our experience is that people come in and they're in some form of crisis. It could be a small crisis that they're going to get over quite quickly, or it could be a major one. And one of the main things that we offer is first of all, that we will listen to a person. If a person has been through a difficult situation and especially had to go through the job centre and have various interviews and this and that and the other, or even a difficult medical situation, it's quite possible in our experience they haven't been listened to, and they've just been told a lot of information and pushed from one place to another. So our experience is that people come in, the first thing we do is say, come in, sit down, and then we offer them a cup of tea or coffee, something nice to eat, free of course. And what happens then is that quite often they've come in with a food bank voucher, but we find half an hour's gone by, we haven't even done anything with the voucher, just because the person who's come in, it's been the first chance they've had to actually get stuff off their chest and just talk about things and be listened to. So a lot of our volunteers are trained listeners, so they do know how to listen to a person.
So what kind of things are involved in that training that you have?
Well, it's what to do and what not to do, really. So if you're listening to someone, it's looking like you're actually interested in them, not fiddling around with a phone or anything else, not looking around, but actually maintaining an eye contact with them and looking at them. And not saying things like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, oh, yeah, and starting talking about your own situation, but actually bringing stuff out of them. I think if you just give people enough time and not jumping in and finishing sentences for them and things like that, and it's a very good thing to be able to do. And I know that myself, when I even went on the listening course and I did role play and someone listened to me, I felt very special, because it seems like, you know, people don't listen to people. So that's a major thing that we do offer.
And then from there, if they're sharing things, can you point them in the right direction of the other services to use?
Yes, because we're a very small link in a chain. People can come in with big problems. And again, we're not the solution. We provide help for crisis. So if someone's in a crisis, we need to help them to find the right help. Very often people have found the right help, like that. The CAB might have sent them down, but if somebody comes in with a food bank voucher and we see that they've got problems that need professional help, we would try and signpost them to the right organisations. It could be that they haven't been to the CAB, who are an excellent organisation. We work very closely with them, and we would arrange an appointment or help them to arrange an appointment with them, or the Law Centre if some people have some quite horrendous legal problems which they've been trying to solve, or debt problems. We can signpost them where to get help with debt problems as well.
Okay, that's fantastic. We're going to play a little clip now. You might want to put your headphones on so you can listen to this bit. But it's from the film I, Daniel Blake by Ken Loach, the film director. This has won a number of prizes across the board, but it highlights the issue of benefit sanctions and the welfare system under the Tory government. And also there's a very powerful scene in the food bank, which we'll talk about afterwards, but I'm hoping that this works.
If you're going to be aggressive with me, then I'm going to have to ask.
It's not about me being aggressive.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
I'm trying to explain to you a situation, and you don't care.
I've got about 12 quid in my purse.
Do you know what? You've created a scene. All right.
Jesus Christ!
What am I supposed to do?
Who's first in this queue?
I am.
Do you mind if this young lass signs on first?
No, you carry on.
This isn't your concern. I want you to get out as well.
Good morning, Mr. Blake. I'm appointed to carry out assessments for employment and support allowance. Can you walk more than 50 metres?
Yes.
Can you raise either arm to put something in your top pocket?
Yes. So what are you doing up here?
We got in a bit of trouble. We was in homeless hostel for about 2 years.
And they couldn't give you anywhere near your family?
No, not in London.
Your only option is job seeker's allowance.
Well, I want to appeal.
You have to apply online, sir.
I was a carpenter. I've never been anywhere near a computer.
You need to run the mouse up the screen.
No. Not now?
No, not like that.
I'm just going round in circles.
Excuse me, madam. I think you've been shoplifting.
I'm in shoplifting.
Okay, look, I can lock the door.
The ladies just serve me.
I can lock the door and call the police if that's what you'd like.
Talking about locking the door and calling the police.
Okay, would you like to come this way?
Can I ask you a question? Are you medically qualified?
I've had a major heart attack. I've been told by my doctor that I'm not supposed to go back to work yet.
I'm afraid you must continue to look for work, or your benefit payments will be frozen.
There must be some mistake. It's a monumental farce, isn't it? Looking for non-existent jobs. And all it does is humiliate me. You've done nothing to be ashamed of. You're alone with two kids. You've done amazing.
I've seen it before. Good people. On the street. You could lose everything.
Well, I'm not going to give up. When you lose your self-respect, you're done for.
So that was from the trailer of I, Daniel Blake, the Ken Loach film. Within there, one of the interesting things that he talks about in the trailer is the is using a computer, because he says that I've been a carpenter all my life, never used a computer. In the film, he then it's shown, and it's quite funny to people who use computers now to see, trying to explain to someone to roll the mouse up the screen. So he picks the mouse up, puts it against the computer screen, and moves it up around, because he's never used it. And you know, that, and these, he's got a handwritten CV and things, and so much has moved online that when suddenly things change and you're not used to those, to using IT equipment, it can be really difficult to then move forward. Is this something you can help with at the food bank as well?
Yes, it is, and it's something that we have actively helped with. We've got Wi-Fi down there, so first of all, people do have Wi-Fi access if they've got a phone, so they can use their phone on there. But we have met people who don't have access to a computer and don't have access, so it's very hard for them to actually apply for any jobs at all. Obviously, the library has computers that people can use for free. But there was a story, and this is one of my favourite stories over the last 5 years. There was a gentleman who is very much like the film. He was a security guard, and he'd been working for many years as a security guard, and for, I can't remember why, but he'd lost that job. So he was now in a position of having to apply for a new job. The last time he had applied for a job, which was many years ago, it was all paper applications. Now it was all online applications. He didn't have a computer. He didn't have access to a computer. When he went to the library, he couldn't get help. They didn't know how to do it. And for that reason, and that reason alone, he wasn't able to get employment. And he was struggling to meet his bills. And he was going on a very quick downward spiral. He came in and he talked to us about that. So it doesn't take a lot of skills to just give someone some basic help. We've got three laptops down there that people can use. So we said, you know, come in and next time and we'll help you with any applications you want. So we gave him the minimal amount of help just to get the things up on the screen and press the right buttons and talked him through it. And he was able to apply for jobs. He came back a couple of weeks later, and this is the great news, and to tell us that he just landed a really, really good job in London as a security guard. So he was so happy.
Really good. That's great. That's great to hear. Within that film as well, the other thing that well, probably one of the most upsetting scenes of the whole movie is the food bank scene, in which a young woman who has two children. She lived in London, but she needed a new council house, and they have moved her up north, as it's cheaper for her to go. So she sat to uproot her whole family over there. She is struggling financially massively, and lots of problems. She gets a voucher for the food bank and goes to visit. And just as she's walking around, you see that she's talking to someone who listens to her, and you see the kind of process. But then she just sneaks and gets a tin of beans and just opens it up and eats, because she's not eaten in so many days. She's absolutely starving. And it's really upsetting to see, and you see how supportive everybody else is. But these kind of really does highlight how people try and put a front up of, like, come on, we're coping. And even her children, you know, they have no idea that their mum's not eating. They're just, you know, she's got enough to feed them and that's it. And there are people who kind of try and hide the fact that they are in this crisis situation. Yeah. That there is support and there is help out there that they can go to. And so just remind us again of the kind of people that they can get in touch with if they feel that they need this support. So those people who can refer.
Yeah, well, the Job Centre Plus give a lot of referrals. And I think if anyone is unemployed, they can actually ask and the job centre, they know that person's situation, obviously, and would give them a food bank voucher. They may not always give them one if they don't ask, so it's actually worth knowing that you can get one from there. The citizen's advice is an excellent way of getting them. And also the law centre, those are the three of the biggest ones that we work with.
And with people going in, there's... some people might be worried because we live on the island, it's quite a small place. You see somebody who sort of knows you and they know you, somebody else. The people who are in there, are they going to be confidential about the people who are going inside? Because obviously it's quite a sensitive moment for them.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of safeguards built in here. First of all, everyone who volunteers at Food Bank has gone through full training, and that includes confidentiality training. So we're trained and regularly reminded that anything that we hear or that's divulged to us during that time, we don't repeat. And, most of the time, or virtually all the time, our volunteers are very sensitive to that. The other thing is that the food banks run as food bank cafes. So not everybody who comes in is going to be coming with a food bank voucher, which is actually a good thing.
Yeah.
So just because you're going into, say, Church on the Roundabout Food Bank on a Wednesday or a Friday morning doesn't mean that you need a food bank voucher. You could be going in there for all sorts of reasons. As the minister there, I arrange meetings for that time as well. So people come in and have meetings with me.
Yeah.
And people, friends come in to visit other people. And it is an open place where people can drop in for a cup of tea. Church people come in. And also people who had previously had food bank vouchers and have enjoyed being there have often come in for a cup of tea as well. So people come in for all sorts of reasons apart from having a food bank voucher. So it's not like a case of, you see someone walking in there, you can't just assume that they're coming in with food bank. And also it's simple little things like the bags that we give them don't have food bank written on them. The bags we get from various shops or we collect, so they might walk out of there with a Marks and Spencer's bag of food or something, so it doesn't look like you've been there. And if sometimes there's a lot of bags of food as well, so we would give people a lift back to the corner or to their cars or whatever, and we would make sure that we take off our food bank uniforms when we walk outside. So it's not obvious that they're with food bank people. So we do everything we can to make it the best possible process for a person, because it is a difficult thing to do, as we've already discussed.
If somebody wanted to help and support you by being a volunteer or a driver or something, how do they get involved in that?
Well, we'd love to hear from anybody who wants to volunteer in any capacity. There's 234 volunteers at the moment across the Isle of Wight with Food Bank. And if you do want to volunteer, the food bank office is open on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday morning. And you can call the team there on 292 040. They'd love to hear from you.
Brilliant. That's great. It'd be really nice to see that number going up even further. What we're going to do now is we're going to play Prime Minister's Questions, which is our weekly little insight into some of the biggest issues of kind of from you personally, of what your thoughts are on some of the things that are going on the island. And then after that, we'll have a talk about kind of what you do with the Church on the Roundabout and your thoughts on the Isle of Wight and in general.
Sounds like fun.
Good. Okay, so the first question is, are you for or against a fixed link?
I love ferry rides. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Right.
But I do think the ferries need to do something to make it a bit cheaper as well.
Ferry rides are always good when you're on it. It's the waiting for hours before you go.
Yeah.
Should we allow fracking on the Isle of Wight?
No. I'd rather we didn't. There's too much unknown about that.
And what is the biggest problem facing the island today?
I think it's going back to our first question. It's the fact that we are cut off and a bit of a brain drain, that we don't have a university. We don't have a place where young people, or we can get bright young people to come to the Isle of Wight to work. The industry is quite light on the Isle of Wight. So I think that's one of our major problems.
Are you a saver or a spender?
I'm not a person who likes to get into debt, so I save, then I spend.
What's the best thing about UK politics?
The best thing. Oh, isn't it? I could tell you the worst thing.
That's coming out.
Probably the best thing is the way it just goes down to very local levels, I think. So it's possible to get involved in some people doing great things on a local level.
One word to describe Brexit. And what's the worst thing about politics in the UK?
The worst thing... It's the two-horse race first past the post. I don't think that really helps. It's not going to change, is it? Because when you get first past the post, you're not going to change it.
No. What newspaper do you read?
I like The Eye. My daughter insists that I read The Eye. I think it's a good paper. Has gone up in price a little bit too much for my liking, but I still like it.
Should we fine parents who take their children out of school for a holiday?
I think that should be done very carefully. You'd have to look at each individual case. I think in persistent cases, yes, but across the board, probably not.
When did you first vote?
It was the first election after my 18th birthday, but I can't remember when that was, I'm afraid. I've always voted.
Should the voting age be lowered to 16?
I think so. I think there's so many thoughtful 16-year-olds that a lot of them are doing A-levels and they think through things a lot more than a lot of us adults, I think.
Are you proud of your country?
In many ways I am, but in other ways I get disappointed. I like to be proud of my country and I like it when we do things that make us proud. I'd like to be more proud of the football team at the moment, but, but it's kind of a mixture, really.
What's the best thing about living on the Isle of Wight?
The beaches. I love the beaches and the views are amazing and the fresh air.
And what's the worst thing about living on the Isle of Wight?
This goes back to the first question. It's the being a bit cut off and the lack of motorways and the ability, the chances to overtake. And if you want to go somewhere, it does make it a little bit more difficult. Well, I think that's in the mind sometimes as well.
One word to describe Donald Trump?
Nervous.
Who would win in an arm wrestle between you or Jeremy Corbyn?
I would. I'm very good at arm wrestling.
And who will win the next general election?
Not Jeremy Corbyn. I fear that it will be the Conservatives again. Doesn't seem to matter what they do.
Is Britain full up?
It appears that we're full up in many ways, but I wouldn't want us to be closing our doors to people who really need to be here.
Should Scotland become an independent country?
I don't think that would be a very sensible idea for Scotland.
And what would your first policy be if you became Prime Minister?
Well, this is my first policy. Oh, I've got to think of something good now, haven't I? increased spending on education. Education is so important.
Excellent.
As an ex-school teacher, I've got to say that. Well, yeah. Why didn't I think of that earlier?
That's all of our top 20 questions. What we're going to do is we have, in the next few weeks, we may even have Jonathan Bacon. He's been promising for a few weeks and he's been bailing out. But hopefully next week we're going to have Jonathan Bacon, the council leader, in the studio with us to talk about the independent council and what is going to be happening with Ireland independence in the lead up to the next election, which is happening in May. We've also got a special on Christmas Eve. We've got two of my students. Well, one former student who's now lives in Switzerland is coming over. And one of the students I have at the moment who are going to be debating all things politics in the studio as well. So it'll be good to hear the voice of young people and their views on different issues as well, which will be good. I'm away for New Year's Eve. So for that show, we're going to do a best of. We're going to put all of those Prime Minister's questions together and we'll just see what everyone's answers were. Can do a bit of comparison and some of the highlights from the shows we've had already. Tony. We are just, can you just tell us a little bit about more of your role? So you're working at the food bank, but what else do you do? What else are you involved in?
Right, well, my role is many and varied. I've been the full-time minister at Church on the Roundabout for the last 5 years, but that's the full-time role is probably very different from what people would imagine. As a church, we're very, very involved in our local community. So my working week is many and varied. It involves a lot of things down at the church because we let community groups use the building and we try and do that as cheaply as we possibly can. So there's a lot of birthday parties at the church. We own a bouncy castle, so I'm forever putting that up and down for people. That's part of my job remit. Keeps me fit. Do that several times a week. Opening and closing for various groups that use the building. I don't like the term caretaker, more caregiver, because we like to make friends with the people who use the building as well as part of being a community church, try and begin to work with them. I go into a lot of schools, especially around harvest time, and do food bank assemblies and such like. Also, as part of my role as in the community, I'm a governor at Summerfields Primary School, chair of governors there, so do quite a lot of work with the primary school up there and also run their sport up there for them. So I do football and cricket with them.
Okay.
So yeah, a lot of things. And then obviously within the church, I do more what you call vicarish duties. So running services and talking to people, spending time running small groups as well and just overseeing the work of the church, really, which there's a lot goes into that, and putting stuff on our website www.ctr-iow.org.uk if you want to have a look. That's a job, and also helping to coordinate the work of the churches working together in Newport, because we do work together with all the other churches. So yeah, a lot of things, really.
Very busy week.
Yes. Yeah, I do try and keep my hours down.
Yeah. Do you think there is a good sense of community on the island?
Yes, definitely. I was brought up in Freshwater, and the sense of community there was huge. Possibly less so in Newport, but we're trying to do what we can to bring in community. And certainly, where our church is very near Pan, that there's been an increasing sense of community there with the Isabel Centre opening up. And we've worked with them up there as well. We're very good friends with the people at the Isabel Centre, and there is a much bigger sense of community there. So I think there's pockets of community in Newport, and it's always good to see.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the Isabel Centre? So what's whereabouts is that, and what's happening there?
Well, the Isabel Centre is right in the middle of Pan. So they work with the Pan community, and just to providing a community focus, really, and there's a lot goes on there. They run a lot throughout the week. There's a cafe there, so there's just help and support through that, and it's a great place there, and there's some great people volunteer up there.
Brilliant. That's fantastic to hear. There's been a lot in the news recently about the Isle of Wight and about deprivation and poverty in pockets of areas on the island, especially in Ventnor and in Newport. Some of the poorest families are currently living there. What is there any kind of outreach work that is links kind of the food bank or community to help support those people? Because obviously when they're in crisis, then they can come to the food bank and support. Mm. But what other things are there out there to help on a kind of... Once that crisis has happened and you've had the support from the food bank, what's then the more on a long-term level?
Yeah, with families, I find, again, this comes down to our signposting that we do at Food Bank, that there's children's centres in Newport which are really good and do give excellent support to local families. And the schools themselves, the schools I work with, both Barton Primary and Summerfields Primary, they've got excellent family liaison officers who do help families in need there. So the schools themselves, I think more than ever, are really able to target the right help to the right people. And you know, families who do need help can often get it through the schools.
Fantastic. I think we've got somebody who's going to be calling in. So you might want to put your headphones on for this. And we'll see just who we've got. Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
Yeah, I've been listening to you and the fella with the food bank.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask him, but do they pay rates to the council for the buildings? Because I remember years ago they was trying to get it so they had the building free, they didn't have to pay no tax.
Right, well, a lot of the buildings are churches, so...
Yeah, I'm on about your warehouses.
Yeah, I think, and I can't be sure on this, but I think that the warehouse does have to pay an amount of money.
This to me is wrong. That council, when they first come in, were voted in independent. Now, one of the first thing I thought they would have done was to scrap that to help you to help people.
Yeah, and we'd obviously like all the help we can get on that one, because the less overheads there are for Food Bank, the better.
Well, exactly. That's my point.
I would have to double check the amount that is being paid by Food Bank at Cowes for the use of it.
Because then when Jonathan Bacon comes in, I'm going to ask him that question for you.
Yeah, well, I'll try and find that out. That's something that they would know at Cowes, obviously. That I work at the distribution centre in Newport, so I'm not so up on what's happening at Cowes and how much is being charged. But that's a very good point. And, you know, I would say to anyone who's listening that if charges can be reduced, obviously that leaves more money for Food Bank.
Well, I remember it when it first started years ago. He got a warehouse, and the fella who came down and had a look at it said, you need a bigger one. And it doubled in size within, I think it was a couple of months. And this was a question then. So I was just wondering whether the council have squashed it and you have to pay nothing because you're helping people.
As far as I know, there is a payment that has to be made. But don't quote me on that. I would have to double check.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. There's a payment being made. I mean, that's money you could use.
Absolutely, because the overheads are high to run a van to distribute the food around the island
and pay for
office staff heating.
There you go. Well, let's see if Jonathan Bacon gets the guts to come in one day and I'll ask him.
What's your name?
Yeah, it's Mark in France. Hello. I'd always ring you up.
You do, yes, you do. Hello, nice to see you. Do you think the council should be doing more to help and support?
Definitely. I think they should be doing more to help the food bank, and I think they should be helping more for the kids who are going to school hungry.
Yes, and there is, of course, now all primary school children in the country get their free lunches, which is a fantastic bonus there.
Yeah, but on the Isle of Wight, you've got kids going to school not having breakfast.
Yeah.
And that's a disgrace. If you look at the statistics on that is a disgrace. You know, you've got these people here trying to help people, and they got to pay tax to the council to help people. To me, it's wrong.
Okay,
it's totally wrong. And as I say, if Bacon has the guts to come on here, I'll ask him these questions.
And we will. I look forward to hearing that. Hopefully that'll be next week.
Okay, mate, lovely.
Okay, thank you.
And well done, mate. You're doing a great job
there
with
the
food bank.
Thank you. That's excellent. Thank you very much. Bye. I did warn you we might get a caller. There you go. Fantastic. We're just coming towards the end of the show now. Up next we've got Darren Streets with his 80s mania, which will be good fun. Just before that happens, I wondered if you wanted... Sometimes we get politicians to do a little mini manifesto, but maybe a little festive message for our listeners about this time of year, linking in with the food bank and a kind of final push to get people to help and support.
Yes, Christmas, a time of goodwill, and I think giving is better than receiving in a lot of ways. And if we can give a few things this Christmas, well, I've got the list here. It says donate hashtag every can helps. So at Christmas we give out more food than ever, and at Christmas if you can just give a few cans or give a bit more than you would have find a supermarket or a church that's collecting it, and bring something in, we would really love that.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Hopefully we'll have you back in again another week, and maybe with somebody else, and we'll have a bit of a debate and discussion as well.
But that'll be a pleasure.
Great to be supporting the food bank, and try and do as much as you can over, especially this time of the year, where I know lots of people will really benefit when they're in a crisis and desperately need that help and support. Up next is Darren Street for 80s. We are fingers crossed for Jonathan Bacon next week to have that debate show, and also lots of arguments about the fixed link debate, which we should be having. The two sides seem to be arguing with each other and as themselves and all sorts of things, having little crises like toddlers. But it'll be interesting. Hopefully we'll be able to get two sides of that argument up, because it'd be really good to debate and hear the two sides. So it's a nice opportunity to kind of fairly debate that, which would be good. But that's lots coming up on the Political Soapbox in the future. If you would like to come on the show and you'd like to talk to us, then do email us, studio@fectusradio.com. It'd be great to have you on. Over to Darren. Thank you very much. www.fectusradio.com.